want us to remember during the lesson, we are a creation of God formed for a specific purpose. That's what I want you to remember as I go through this lesson this morning. How many of us remember as children playing with Play-Doh? How many parents remember watching their children play in Play-Doh? And how many grandparents have enjoyed watching their grandchild play in Play-Doh? When a child sits down with a lump of Play-Doh, do they have really a thought process, what they want to make? Or do they just sit down and they start bending it, molding it, shaping it, and things like that? They don't really have a specific purpose. Oh, we may have little stamps to make figurines and so on. And one of the things that always happens is what? A lump of yellow, a lump of red. Well, in my case, if I was caught mixing colors, that was the end of the Play-Doh. That's many generations back, but things have not changed. But I want us to remember, the child enjoyed playing with that Play-Doh, molding it and shaping it and doing things. And as Stephen said, if they left it lay out, what happened? It hardened, and they weren't going to be able to do much with it. But if we remember to follow our parents' rules, we put it back in the little container and covered it up so we could use it again. Well, Genesis 1 talks to us about 1 and 2, God creating the heavens and the earth and all things. And he then talks in Genesis 2, 7, and 8, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. As a potter takes a lump of clay and fashions it and forms it, he does so until he receives a desired result. God has the desire to shape man according to his will. And it's excellent talking about Jeremiah because of the way things have gone. And we need to understand that God designed us, God formed us, and the object to return to him to be faithful and obedient servants. And we need to keep those things in mind. Now I want to go through some of the things in Isaiah 64, and I apologize to Sean. God's always willing to reshape us, is he not? If we fall away, God is willing to take us back and reshape us, and to bring us back into what he has in mind. And we need to understand that God had a specific purpose when he formed each and every one of us. But in Isaiah 64:1, it talks about rend the heavens. This is a sudden and sublime descent of the Lord to execute vengeance on his foes. This isn't a time where God is coming down to pass blessings on to his people. No, not at all. God's people entreat him to descend, though. They're calling on him to come down. To prove his indignation and that every obstacle that is before them and before him will be destroyed. Just as David asked in Psalm 144, 5 and 6, bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shout out your arrows and destroy them. So there's times when man realizes that he has strayed, transgressed, fallen away. But it also says that you would come down. They're asking him to come down. They're acknowledging that the temple is burned up. Isaiah 64:11 says, "Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up in fire. The city is desolate. The land lies waste. And the people are carried captive to distant lands." A dismal time for the people of God. Isaiah 64:4 talks about since the beginning of the world. We need to understand nowhere else among the people had there been such blessings imparted and such happiness enjoyed as when God's people obeyed him and were in submission to him. And there were so many proofs of God's love and protection among all the people that would call upon him and who feared him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Paul's referring to the wisdom revealed in the scripture, including all the provisions, the mercy, and the happiness the gospel makes known to God's people. Things related to the pardon of sin, to the atonement, to the justification of faith, to the peace and joy which religion imparts, to the complete and final redemption from sin and death, which the gospel is fitted to produce. The people here in Isaiah, like the people since Christ died and was resurrected, can only imagine the great works that God really has done and the love that he has shown, not only to the Israelites that followed him, but also for today's Christians. We really have to stretch our imaginations to truly understand the power and the love and what God has done for each and every one of us. No God, and that is small g, has ever done for the Lord or done for man what the Lord has done. No human being has ever witnessed the manifestations from any other type of God. And of course, idols is what we would consider that. This particular verse, God has in his dealings in the past executed judgment. He shows his existence, his power, but also his goodness to those that were his friends, to his people. Nowhere else could the people reach to or pray to that could have any of the things that God had provided. But we need to understand God once again is going to intervene. And the question is, why should he intervene on behalf of these people that have turned and have hardened their hearts to such a degree? Isaiah 64:6, like an unclean thing, the people are confessing their wrongful deeds. They were polluted and they were defiled. And that's in regard to the law of Moses, Leviticus 5:2, Deuteronomy 14:19. These people are admitting they are morally corrupt. Morally corrupt. They're all withered away, like, and this is a beautiful time of the year because this is the autumn, and we see the leaves falling, turning and falling, and we also see the wind blowing them about to and fro. They say that their beauty is gone, their strength has fled. A beautiful description of mankind: strength, vigor, comeliness, and beauty are good traits. However, those things at this time have faded away from these people. Isaiah 64:7, no one calls on your name. Do we understand the anger that God would have for his people and the fact that nobody calls on his name? The nation is corrupt. They're degenerate. They have fallen into the stupidity of sin. And one of the things that I've always thought in my life, ignorance is the lack of knowledge. Stupidity is having knowledge and not utilizing it in the right fashion. So they're admitting they have fallen into the stupidity of sin because they've transgressed God's laws. And no one worships the God in sincerity or in any other way at this time. The people have completely explained to God why he has hidden his face from his people. Then Isaiah 64:8, we are the clay, you are the potter. As the potter molds the clay into pots, they ask that they be returned and restored entirely by him. So the clay hasn't hardened yet completely. Still has time. But they're acknowledging they don't have the power to reshape themselves. It's going to require God to form them, to reform them. And they acknowledge that they're wholly in his hand and at his disposal. Isaiah 29:16 says, surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Do we really believe God does not know what he made? Do we really believe that God had no understanding? And I think we understand the answer to that is God knows. The people are saying, you have the power to mold us, just as the potter has the power to mold the clay into a desired pot. So, we are a creation of God designed for a specific purpose. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I adorned you a prophet to the nations. This is what God is saying to Jeremiah. But we need to understand that each of us, God also formed us. God formed us for a purpose. God knew us before we were. So God has an understanding of what he wants from us. Are we still seeking the meaning of life? Or do we understand that we are to commit ourselves back to the Father in heaven by following his Son, Jesus Christ? We're created for God's plan, and it's for us to seek what that plan is that God has for each and every one of us. Jeremiah 18. There's possibly three prophecies that we're looking at. The first one is the people asked for king. They got kings. How did that work out? The kings were supposed to reign in splendor, but they didn't reign for God's purpose, most of them. God realized that each of these kings should have reformed, but each one of them met their just reward. Second prophecy, mercy is offered to the inhabitants. And we talked about that this morning. But what happened? Jeremiah 18:11-12. The people refused to submit to God. They rejected God's mercy. And then the third prophecy spoken of, Jeremiah 19, is the broken vessel. The city and the kingdom destroyed, everything. But we need to remember that remnant was carried away. There is still going to be opportunity for God's people. Jeremiah 18:1-4. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. In the days of Jeremiah, all pottery was made for a specific purpose. It had a design and a purpose, and the potter formed and fashioned that until they received what they were looking for. But were all vessels alike? No. They weren't all alike. But each vessel with its uniqueness still was designed for an ultimate purpose. I thought about my time in Sicily back in 85, a day or two ago. I loved walking into the clay shops, I'll call it. You had these people that were fantastic with their hands in clay, and they would form little scenarios of the Sicilian landscape, countryside. And they might, you walk in, you see them building one, and there's one already on the shelf. They're doing a second one. Now, is it going to be identical to the first? That'd take a lot of skill to be identical. No, there's going to be small differences. And that's you and I, each one of us, a little bit different than the other. But each vessel was important that God makes. And no vessel is created that was not useful, was not needed. Today, each of us is created, formed to serve God. We're unique in some way. But one thing we need to each understand, though we're unique, each and every one of us, God has given us talents. And it's up to us to find those talents, and we can hone those talents so that we can do, according to God, what He purposed for us to do. Every person is needed. Every person is important to God. A potter is patient, but do we see anyone more patient than God Himself, waiting for you and I to turn to Him and to serve Him? But sometimes the vessel becomes marred. The potter reshapes it again and again and works out the marred places. But if it hasn't hardened completely, God can take that and reshape it, reform it, start again. God loves us, and He never throws us away. No matter how bad we are marred, we still have the opportunity with God to be what He wants us to be, what He desired us to do. As long as we have breath in our body, we have the opportunity, we have hope that we can be reformed and shaped into the purpose that God would have us. We need to understand the clay is totally submitted to the potter. We are completely at God's mercy. We have to give ourselves over. Christ is an example. Luke 22, 39 through 42. Coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. When He came to the place, He said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Christ is showing us without a doubt what it is to be designed and formed into God's purpose, and that is to serve Him. He's also showing that his love for man is just as God's love is for man, and that he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So even Christ is demonstrating the Father's will, that man be turned back to the Father in heaven. God, or Christ, shows his complete submission, and you and I should also do the same thing. We are the clay, and we are to be in submission to God. No one's their own potter, though many people think they can shape themselves. We have an enemy that desires to see us marred. Satan is wandering around day and night, looking for opportunities to change us. We live in a world where circumstances and situations tend to creep in to determine our direction in life. And yes, there are two directions: my will, God's will. That's because of the free will that I have, that I try to use to choose. But today we have a new beginning with Christ. Accepting Christ is our Savior, and following him back to the Father. Jeremiah 18, I'm going to start in verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and kingdom, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning good with which I said I would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. If you're doing good, but you turn evil, destruction. If you're doing evil, but turn good, God will accept you back. When a vessel is ruined, the potter doesn't throw it away. He crushes it together, dashes it back on the wheel, and begins his work afresh until the clay has taken the predetermined shape according to the potter. It was God's purpose that Judah should become a proper scene for the manifestations of the Messiah, and her sons be fit to receive the Savior's teachings and carry the good tidings to all lands. So that remnant needs to come from those people to continue so that God's work can be completed and his son announced, and then for mankind to continue to be taught what God's word is. But if at any stage of the preparation, if the Jewish nation took such a course that would have frustrated this divine purpose, it was crushed by affliction into an unresisting mass in which the formative process began again immediately. So if they would turn back, God would reform them into what he was looking for. Taken. God took dust from the earth and made man. Clay is dug from the earth. God's hands are involved in forming us, just as the potter's hands and the will forms the vessel. The potter has a blueprint in his mind what he's looking for when he starts this process. God had already purposed. God had already decided from the foundations of the world. But if it becomes spoiled or damaged, the potter has the idea, and with his hands, he will continue to shape it until the desired effect. Remaking. The potter doesn't discard the marred clay. He simply puts it back in the wheel, reforms it. It's not a repair, but it's a new creation. In love and mercy, God put his plans in action to restore the marred vessels, the children of his, into a vessel of honor. When we are utterly marred, we are made completely new in Christ. When we're utterly lost, we can be saved through Christ. Salvation is not a patching up of the old man. It's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Romans 9:17-24. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say of him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So all the things that God did during the Old Testament for the Jews to bring them into submission so that they could lead us up to the Messiah. And then now the Messiah comes trying to teach again the Jews. However, we know that Paul was commissioned and he was sent to the Gentiles. So we all have opportunity today. Neither Pharaoh nor any sinner can justly blame God for placing them in circumstances where they should develop their own character away from God's will to their own will. It's not the fault of God, but it's their own fault because of their free will, and they commit either to their surroundings or they commit to God. The sinner is not compelled to sin, nor is God under obligation to give him contrary to the prevalent desires and wishes. So a sinner can call and ask God or pray and ask God for things. Is God going to listen? Is God going to hear the prayers if the person is evil and they're just desiring to do more evil? Or will God hear the prayer of a humbled person who is admitting their faults and asking God to restore them? It's right that the incorrigibly wicked should be cut off. When a man's character is fully developed, when he is fairly tried, when all circumstances he has shown he will not obey God, neither justice nor mercy hinders the Almighty from cutting that person down. and consigning that person to death. God so spoke to Pharaoh in Exodus. He used Pharaoh to show his power, his might, but also to form within his people that he is their God, and he will look over them, look out for them. And God speaks to you and I today through the inspired word. Are we listening? Let God mold us in his ways. Join Christ in serving the Almighty God. Confess Christ in his way.